accept the match.
Thank you. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Dear brothers, sisters, leaders in the community, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. We thank Allah for this day in Brooklyn and this presence that we have here, this audience, this gathering, and the lovely, tasty breakfast that I just enjoyed. And also for your leader and our Imam leader in this area, Imam Adib Rashid. When man was created, according to, well, the Bible and the Quran, but in the Quran it's put a little differently. According to the Bible, God saw him alone, by himself. And it was not good, God said, that the man be alone. And I've heard others say, and I've come to see it, if you find a leader struggling alone, there's something missing in him. He doesn't have a wife that's helping him or suitable. He doesn't have a relationship with the natural world that's suitable. Something is missing that's really important. And I don't think nothing is more important for man than the correct relationship with a woman and the correct relationship with this material world God made. And we have it in your Imam, Adib. We have that. And that's why he's not working alone. if the man is whole, and that's, the man wouldn't have me, he didn't have that woman. And he ain't, the woman is really a pointer, a sign, pointing to even a bigger relationship that God wants man to have. And that's the relationship with the natural world, with the material environment. And when God says, the woman is your tilth, meaning your ground that you're going to plant, your harvest, what you expect to harvest, you're going to plant it in that ground, and you expect to harvest it. Well, we also put our vital life in our wife, in our woman, our wife, and we expect a good harvest. We trust God that we'll have a good harvest of our life repeated, or another generation through her. But also, as I said, she is a sign pointing us to another relationship that we need to establish if we expect to have our community life repeated and survive. We have to form that relationship with the natural environment, the material world that God created. So God is really subtly, quietly suggesting to man very strongly, though speaking very subtly and quietly, that he engage not only a beautiful woman, but engage the material environment. And we are on our subject. This is our subject for this morning. But before going further with our subject for this morning, let me say that I have been here before, and I return, and I see even more progress than I saw before. You're moving, and this makes me feel so good. And I know I'm just like many brothers and sisters in this community. We are not happy when we don't see progress. We're not happy when we don't see people working and people accomplishing things. So when we do find an area, a mosque, a center, where that's happening, you'd be surprised how much energy, how much spirit, and how much pleasure it gives us to go back home and even be more alive and more active and more powerful to get accomplished more things even in our local places. So this is a must that we have examples of life and not examples of laziness and idleness and stagnation and death. Thank you very much, you sponsors, and thank you very much, Allah, for this leader, Adib Rashid, and his supporters. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. We are very pleased. Yes, and when he told me, I said, wow, I doubt if I can get that done. He told me that they got a fire alarm system put in here, and it didn't take no time to do it, and it cost $36,000. Big congratulations to you all. Big congratulations. That shows that you have something special. You have to have something special to do that. And believe me, I've been believing in that that is bigger than I am, and that that is secured when I'm not secured, and that that is permanent and I'm not permanent. I've been believing in that ever since my mother and father introduced me to it. All right? I've been a man believing in God. Believing in God. And I have believed that if you try to please God, you're going to have the best life and best situation possible for yourself. That's what I believe. So my father used to tell people when they give big contribution, say, brother, thank you. He said, thank you, brother. Allah is going to give you that and more. So what you give, it may not be returned like you said. Sometimes you do business and you say you receive compensation in kind. Whatever you gave, you get the same thing back, you know. I give you dollars, I got dollars back. That's in kind. I give you chickens, I got chickens back, or I got some agricultural product back, which was in kind. It was in the same category. Allah may not give you compensation in kind, but you're going to get the compensation that's best for you. Allah knows better than you what compensation will make your life better. So I'm not saying you're going to get this, you all going to get your share of that $36,000 in kind, but you're going to get reward equal to what you gave and more. Allah is going to do that. Praise be to Allah. Yes. Now getting back to our topic, economics. You know, the community of African American people have not yet shown that it's conscious of its responsibility for its community life. Our neighborhoods are still depending on, other than us, the residents, for business, life, and for even the maintaining of property in good shape. We are like migrants almost. We come to an area, we live there, pretty soon the area dies, not attractive anymore. Or another area we become aware of have a little more to offer us. If we have enough money to go there, we leave our area, we abandon our area, where we have established friendships with neighbors. We have established our spiritual life there on that block, next to our neighbors, in that environment, in the stores that we frequent, and then we pull up stakes and just move like desert travelers, tent people, moving from one tent to another. Every time we hear the oasis is a little bit brighter, a distance away. That's what keeps us poor. That's what keeps us poor. If we want to be comfortable materially as a people, we have to realize that what Islam offers us is the solution to this problem. Because Islam requires that all Muslims not live separately, but live together. We are not Muslims if we don't live together. What do I mean by live together? I mean plan life together. Plan life separately, but we must also plan life together if we are to answer the call of Islam. It's the call to community life. God says, you are a community. You are the best of the communities evolved for the good of all people. That's what God says of us. Antum khayra ummatan ukhrijat linnas. Plain as day. I translated for you exactly. Plain and simple. It says, God says, you are the best community evolved for all people. Ukhrijat linnas, evolved for all people. Now, ukhrijat literally means brought out. It comes from the Arabic word kharaja. Kharaja. Ikhraj means to go out. Ikhraj means that what that is speaking of was brought out. Was brought out. Now, isn't this in line with the scripture that came before? Nothing in the Quran is without a connection with the scriptures that were revealed before. Something in the scriptures before has a relationship to what you have in the Quran. I don't care what it is. So when we hear this word that is translated evolved, and it does mean evolved, because a plant exits from the ground, doesn't it? A seed is buried in the ground. You bury it. You put it in the ground. And it life makes it exit from the ground. And it comes into the open space and is visible. And it's then becomes part of the visible world or the visible environment. Well, look what God says. He says, and he has created you like a plant. I'm thinking of money. This subject is called money. Okay? Money, that's what this subject is called. You can call it what you like, but that's what I got in mind. Money. But money is to support life. The life that Allah wants for us. The life is more important than the money. The life is the thing. The money is the means to have the thing like we want it. The money is only the steps toward what we want. We need that money just to get us over to what we want. You see? So we don't want to put too much importance on the money as something that our life needs. Our life needs life. And the life needs support for it, and that support is the earth, the material world that God gave us. And the money is nothing but a symbol or token of some part of this material world that we have managed to be responsible for, to own, to possess, to have in our charge. That's all the money is, only a token, a symbol. Alright? In itself, that's all it is. So when you buy, you take $500 and buy you a nice overcoat. Don't be like the stupid people and think of that overcoat as $500. Keep the looks of that overcoat as it looked when you took it off the rack in your mind and say, that's what I bought. I bought that overcoat. And that overcoat was worth $500. So you say, I paid $500 for that coat. After a while, $500 becomes the prominent thing, the imprint on your mind, more than the coat itself. $500. So if we go after money, I don't care how much it is, God knows I could realize in my charge, in my hand as my responsibility, $1 billion today. And the first thing I'll start thinking about, right away my mind will go off of $1 billion. I'll start thinking about what that $1 billion can get us. Not $1 billion. People that's fascinated by money, by just the token, the paper we call money, a dollar, they will hold on to it. You got $1 billion, and it's been 10 years, and you still got $1 billion, and a little interest. And so many things coming at you, because the world knows too you got $1 billion. That $1 billion is getting from so many sides, that we can hear a couple of years later that you broke. Somebody has picked you out of the way to get your $1 billion. Because you just wanted to just keep the $1 billion. But if you right away say, I got $1 billion, and I can get $1 billion worth of goods, services, land, facilities to strengthen myself, my family, and my community. That's the way we have to think. That's the way we have to think. And I thank Allah that we have in this community persons like that. A sister recently, I'm sharing this with you, a sister recently sent us, contacted us, our office, CPC office, to tell us through the ministry, she contacted us, to tell us that she just sold a house that was left to her by her husband. She was a widow. She's a widow. And she said she had $300,000 and she wanted to invest with CPC. When we finally got together and was able to talk to her, I learned that she wanted to make, now you listen to this, she's senior citizen. She wanted $100,000 to go as to the beneficiary, her husband, her present husband, she's married. That cut some of you pretty boys out, didn't it? Yes, she's already married. And she wanted another $100 to go to one of her close relatives, a female. And she said, I want $100 to stay with CPC. She said, that sister got her community at heart. She's looking to the future. Now, she ain't only investing, but she's investing for CPC to continue to live in the future after we're gone. She's not the only one, but she's the biggest investor. But we have a few others like that who have told us that they want this money, a part of it, their money, the investment part of it, to stay with CPC should they die. And so much to go to their other persons they named. This is the spirit that I have in me. I make money. I'm taken care of by you all. I know for sure that I won't be put out of doors. I'll have a car. I have the things that I have to have. But I have a lot of friends, a lot of relatives, a lot of friends, and a lot of people that I took in like I did a pigeon once. A little baby pigeon. I saw this baby pigeon, no mother came and got it. I took that baby pigeon in and took care of it. And one day, it would go away and fly and come back and a light on my shoulder. I was a boy, about 14, 13 or 14. And one day, my pigeon, yes, I wasn't 14. I know, I remember now the address where we lived. I wasn't 14 because we had moved from that address while I was 13. One day, I saw the pigeon. The pigeon came, you know, creatures are intelligent just like we are. That pigeon came to show me, didn't want to leave me forever and not tell me what was happening. That pigeon came with another pigeon, and the pigeon was still young, like a squirrel, but big enough to be grown in a pigeon world. So that pigeon came with that other big pigeon, and soon that pigeon noticed that I saw it. It didn't light on my shoulder. It turned right around. God is my witness. They turned around and flew away. It came to tell me that I found my mate. I found a mate, and I won't be seeing you anymore. Now, I was lonesome and hurt. When that pigeon was taken away, that pigeon was flying away, I was hurt and happy, more happy than hurt, that that pigeon had found a mate and was going on to its world to have its life. Well, we can learn a lot from these animals, these lower creatures, in the scale of life and evolution. We can learn a lot from them. That's why you find them in Scripture. Ants, animals, pigeons, doves, in Scripture. Oh, yeah. Okay, back to money. Look how this happened. I saw a piece of land. See, if you want to grow, you want to concentrate some of your investments. We don't want things scattered all too far. If I have to leave CPC and drive downtown or to the north side to another business that we acquired, look at how much time it takes me to go to the north side of downtown and return back to where I live or where we have another business. Look at the gas, the wear and tear on the vehicle, and the time. See, when you start moving up into business, you start investing in the more and more time. Every time you increase your finances and your financial responsibilities, your time becomes more valuable. I don't care if you increase it just a little bit your time increased in value. So after a while, somebody called me up and said, "Hey, you're mad. Can you go to lunch with me? Or can you go out to dinner with us this evening?" When I didn't have much responsibility, oh yes. I don't even ask them how much time it's going to take. But as you move on in responsibility for investments, for finances, etc., where are we going? I want to know how much time it's going to take us to get there. I'm trying to see how much time it's going to take out of my day. I said, "Well, where are we going?" "Oh, we're going right around the corner, about 5 minutes from here." "Good." I said, "Now, how long is it going to take you? How long are we going to be there? You want to have a meeting or just eating?" "Oh, no, we want to talk." "That's how much time you need?" "About an hour." "Can't know what it is. If it ain't going to give me money for my money, my time is money now. My time ain't time. My time is money." Somebody asked me to come somewhere and they told me they got $500 honorarium. I said, "I will pay you $500 to never invite me again." What is $500? $500 is nothing like that. Just like telling me you got 5 cents. 5 pennies. That's nothing. In fact, it cost him if I was making him pay, my charge would have been to him $500 for the 5 minutes I was talking to him. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not exaggerating anything. Time is very precious and very valuable. The more you involve yourself in business or in important matters, those important matters make your time very, very valuable. Very, very valuable. A man's time is very, very valuable. You want your leader to be more productive, you want him to get more things done, do not tie him up with petty things, with small matters. Take care of those small matters with other people and let him have the big things. And he will do more for you in this community and for himself and his family. Don't forget, we have to respect private interests. And that's something we need to be educated in too. We ask people to come and work for us, and we think they're supposed to work for nothing. We think they're supposed to give us their time for nothing. You got a life, somebody has to take care of you. You got something supporting your life. And you care about your private life. So does everyone else. We care about our private life. And we have to respect the private life of one another. So don't ask a man who has intelligence, education, resources, he has proven that he can produce. Don't ask him to give time and you don't compensate him for his time. If he refuses it as charity, then God receives that and God loves him for that and will reward him even more. But don't you ask me to give you my time. You won't employ me for nothing. And you're saying in your heart, oh, God will give him. God is going to bless him. I don't want you telling me God is going to bless me. I tell myself that. I pray and I tell myself, God, I hope you'll bless me. I don't want you to tell me that unless you've already blessed me. If you've already blessed me, then tell me God will bless me too. I like that. But you bless me first for what I'm giving you. Yeah, we have to become people of business sense. I don't know if you know this, but like every other racial or ethnic group on this planet, see us as a whole race that has no business sense. I'm telling you, this is what they talk with each other. They laugh at us. In privacy, when we are around, they laugh at us. Oh, they can sing, they can dance, they can. But they have no business sense. And they can't believe that CPC has business sense. They can't believe that this community under my leadership has business sense. I talk to them, especially those Asians. Except for very few. Koreans, I know you all, some of you don't like Koreans. But I find them having much more respect for our business sense, for our intelligence as a people, than many other Far East people in Asia. This, I hate to talk about my brothers, but this includes also the Arabs who are in the Middle East. They have no respect for us. They don't think we have business sense. You know, like some of the die-hard racist, no matter how much you achieve, they want to charge it to something other than your intelligence. You didn't get this because you qualified as an intelligent person, or you didn't get this because you have business sense. You got this because you were lucky. Are you in drugs? Right away they say, oh, he's in drugs. He's selling drugs. This is just a front. They can't believe that you can do what they can do with your intelligence. So, this is not true. We know it's not true of us. That's not true of us. But it is true of us that we don't have enough of us working to see that we have the community life that we want in our souls. As we walk out of our home and look at what's out there in the environment, the physical environment, we don't see the creation of other people right in front of our eyes as soon as we step out of our door. We're supposed to see the creation of our own people. Like when other races, Irish, Italian, Polish, when they step out of that door, they know what they're looking at, they're responsible for it. They know that. They did it. They're responsible for it. They're holding up what they're looking at. They're preserving what they're looking at. But when we walk out of our door, whether it's an apartment, a room, or a house, most likely we're looking at something other people did and something other people are preserving. Now that has to stop. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and many of our African American leaders, females and males and females, like Booker T. Washington and others, they were struggling to get rid of that ugly picture of us as people who can't create anything and can't secure anything but our own self in our little small world. Mission. And most of us can't do that. We depend on the government, on welfare, on charity, or from the messenger, charity from that. We depend on help from outside just to do that. And nobody should be depending on that kind of help unless they're crippled, deformed, retarded, some hospitalized. There must be a real reason for you not to take care of yourself. The scripture, both Quran and Bible, points to a time that's coming, and this is my concluding statement I'm about to put together here, points to a time that's coming where the individual will have to accept responsibility for his or herself. And where a time when communities, one race will not have to be able to go to another race and to survive or to have what it wants. One nation will not be able to go to another nation. All nations will have to stand on their own feet. All groups, racial groups, have to stand on their own feet. All individuals will have to stand on their own feet. That's what scripture is pointing to. A time that's coming that all units, big and small, will have to stand on their own feet. What did that tell us? God says, surely we have created the human being in the most excellent model, a mold. And God says also, certainly we have made honorable with dignity every descendant of Adam. Now, so what is the Bible prophesy? What's the Bible prophesy? Where is the Bible coming from to prophesy like that? That every unit, big, multiple, and singular, will have to one day support itself. It's standing upon that determinant that God put in your body when he created it. A determinant that says, you are not what you should be. Being idle, not producing, not taking care of yourself. You're not supposed to have everybody taking care of you. You're supposed to do what they do. If they can take care of themselves, you can take care of yourself. That's that dignity that God created us with. Speaking. That's that honor that God created us with. Speaking. It's demanding that we stand up and be the respectful and respectable creature that God created us to be. Respectful of others, but respectful also of our own self. You have these muscles, use them. You have this sense, use it. You have this love, use it. God has created any of us with our love. Use that love. Make that love pay off for you and your close ones, as God called them in the Quran. He didn't call them relatives, he called them close ones. The word is from Qarib, meaning near, close. And we use that language and call for your relative. So relative is the word in Arabic, in Quranic Arabic, relative, and in the world of Arabic language, it's a word that means close to you. Your wife is close to you. Your children from her and you, close to you. So these are the first ones. And Allah says in the book of God, close members have a priority. A priority. That means before you go out to take care of Imam Deputy Muhammad's household, be sure you take care of your own. Don't have your children crying if you try to take care of Imam Deputy Muhammad. That's a sin before God. Now, I know a lot of you now have been comfortable with this because you already ain't giving them nothing. They say, oh, they're going to give us less, God. But this is more important for me to tell you this, even though I'm hurting an interest that has priority to do with me, and that is all these lambs being taken care of like they should, being supported and given fair compensation for that time they give up. Okay, but I have to say this, Billy Lambs, I have to say this. These believers are not supposed to have their own house getting 5-day notice. They're going to be put out. Their phone threatened, they're going to cut the phone off unless they have abused the phone. But if they use it sensibly, they're not running the bills up like they don't have any awareness of how much money they got. And they don't have enough to pay that bill, but they're not being stupid. They got a bill that's reasonable. They can't pay it. They're supposed to pay that bill before they give us money. Keep your phone on. Stay in your own house. Be sure you got a place to stay. Don't be hungry. Don't have your children hungry. Don't feed them a cheap diet that will deprive them of nutrients and help for their development. Brain, bone, teeth, and everything. Take care of yourself and your family. That's your first obligation under God. Your first obligation under God. Then your next obligation is to take care of your community. And the way you do that, support your community leaders. So then you turn from your home directly to your mosque. Your mosque has the first rights outside of your home. Your mosque, your center, that's supposed to be working for your community life. And it is here in this town, in Brooklyn. Praise be to Allah. So much for that. Getting back to the closing thought, we must prepare to be responsible for ourselves to the maximum degree. To the maximum degree. That means that we are independent. No one is independent. Not even the whole world is independent. The world depends on God for its existence and for its preservation. And we depend on God for our existence and for our preservation. And we have to depend upon each other to an extent. We have to depend upon government to an extent. We have to depend upon many things and many factors to an extent. But we should be, if we want to be prepared for the future that God wants for us and that God is going to force upon us, we ain't going to be mistaken. We have to maximize the amount of responsibility that we take into our own hands for our own welfare, present and future. This is predicted, and I see now that we're living in that time. President Bush is not thinking about taking care of black people, and no president following him. Republican or Democrat or other, even if they come in with another party, they will not be thinking about taking care of black people anymore. The clock has run out on that. Not only run out on taking care of black people, but they're not going to take care of any people. We're living in a one world order. This one world order says many things, but here is what it says most importantly to this point that I'm making in my concluding thought for you to keep with you. They're saying that everybody in this one world now has rights and claims. And we, though we are very rich and powerful, we cannot treat our citizens in a way or benefit our citizens in a way that does not respect what other citizens need in all parts of the world. This is the one world order that we're in right now. This is what's it. Now, the reason why we don't have more going out from us, and we have a lot more out. America, you'd be surprised how much America gives to help others, other countries. Some of you know, but most of us don't. A lot of our tax money goes to help other nations with their publics, to help them manage their publics, to serve their public. Much of our money. As you know, Israel gets a lot because of partnership, a secret partnership. You hear what I said? A secret partnership that Israel has with the United States. It didn't happen today. It happened when the United States was conceived. When the United States was conceived by the founding fathers, a secret partnership had already been formed with the Jews.